This is Casey Boy from the Preston and Steve Show, 93.3 WMMR, and I'm excited to introduce Philadelphia to Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys. Hi, Dan.
Hey, how you doing?
I am super nervous, man.
Well, don't be nervous. We'll go easy on you.
How are you pre-show, speaking of nerves?
I'm pretty all right. I do okay.
Do you?
Yeah, I don't get too nervous.
Did you have to ever overcome that when?
Oh yeah, I mean when we started, we were so freaked out. I mean, I think like our second show, we both completely like blacked out. We had 30 minutes of music. We played it in 15 minutes, and then we were like off of the stage afterwards, and just like we neither of us remembered the show. We were so nervous.
There's a certain spirit in rock and roll that allows for just things to be wild, and you can forget a lyric or two.
Well, it allows antisocial people to get in front of crowds is what it does.
Okay. Okay. So I wanted to start this interview by telling you that I'm a huge fan, by the way, and and I named my dog Dan Auerbach. No, I'm just kidding. I named it Patrick Carney. That's a lie as well. Are you fanatical about anything enough to name a dog or a cat or anything after it?
No, not really. I don't think so. No.
No? Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Probably music, but I would never have a cat.
So, growing up in Akron, were you a sports fan? Did you like the Browns, the Cavs?
You love the Browns, even though they always let you down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's sort of like, I don't know, hard to describe that kind of love, but...
I think I can understand it. I mean, I live in the city of Philadelphia. I mean, the Eagles won a Super Bowl a couple of years ago, but before that, you know, it was 2008. Before
a couple
that,
of years
was,
ago, man. I don't know. There you go.
Yeah. You guys had the Cavs for a little bit, and, you know, that was pretty nice for you guys.
Yeah, LeBron allowed us a few couple of years of joy. No, I used to go see the Cavs when they used to play at Richfield Coliseum in Cleveland. Mark Price, Steve Kerr, Brad Doherty.
You know what? Like, for some reason, I know you're from Akron. I don't want to talk about Cleveland because you're not from Cleveland. But I always liked Cleveland. I watched this documentary about, you know, I think it was called, like, City on Fire, River on Fire, or something like that. And it was just, my heart went out to them. You know, went out to the people of Cleveland, because I don't know why so much is, you know, a pride is based on a city's sports championships.
You don't know why? What do you mean?
But I do know why. Like, I don't know why, but, like, I do know why.
And yeah, it's a hard luck town. I don't know.
So I wanted to ask you, obviously, music played a bigger part in your life growing up, and I want to ask how a kid, gets into music and musicians like Junior Kingbro and Robert Johnson and Hound Dog Taylor. Like, how does that first get introduced to you? And then what was it about it that latched onto you?
Well, I was always around music. Like, records were always playing in the house. My dad had blues records. He had the Robert Johnson collection. It had just come out. They reissued all his records. So I was hearing that all the time, just at a really impressionable age, I guess. And all the Motown records and all that stuff. And then my mom played piano, and her whole family played bluegrass. So just seeing musicians and hearing records all the time just had a really big impact on me.
How old were you when you picked up your guitar for the first time?
I mean, I have always been around the guitar because my family played. So, like, ever since I was a little kid, every time we had family reunions or stuff like that, that was when the instruments would come out, you know? So I got to see that stuff in person. So, like, playing music wasn't just a thing on stage. You know, it was a thing. It was, like, personal.
Yeah.
In a way. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so that's always kind of how it's felt to me.
Does this still happen at family get-togethers? Does the music come out?
And, oh, yeah.
And do they bring, hey, Danny, come on up here and play them your new song.
I just had my uncle come to Nashville and sing on some records. He's awesome. He's a really good singer, actually. Great harmony singer. Crazy singer.
So I work with a guy. His name's Nick Murphy. He's our video producer. His wife is from West Virginia, and he goes down there a couple of times a year for, you know, family get-togethers, and it's the same thing. And, like, I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous of that because I have a guitar. Yeah. I can't play it. I I don't care what anybody says. Some people just aren't inclined to play.
My brother doesn't play music at all.
Okay. But did he try?
Not really.
Okay.
He just never got the bug.
Yeah. Whenever a song that I'm trying to learn has a B in it, I just skip that song and I go to another one. So I just it's a hard note to play, is it not? Well, not for you.
The B. You just need to figure out some open chords. That's what you need. The little cheater chords.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you still take lessons?
I had never – well, I took a couple lessons when I was a kid, but
– you're all self-taught.
I mean, I feel like every time I'm in the studio with other musicians, I'm kind of getting a lesson. You know what I mean? I get to learn something. I mean, in Nashville, there's just so many crazy musicians, like crazy guitar players. So I get to be around those people all the time, and they teach me new tricks all the time. Every week I learn something new, something I didn't know.
Do you hang out with people that aren't musicians? Or
Yeah, occasionally. Well, you know, like New Year's Eve. So like.
It just seems to me that, like, when you're in it as deep as you are, that you just want to hang out with people who are like-minded, you know?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think... I mean, I like to hang out with musicians in the studio. Other than that, it's like, it can be a little much, you know?
So who moved to Nashville first? Was it you or Patrick?
I moved to Nashville from Akron. It's the only other place I've lived besides Akron.
How important is geographical closeness to you and Patrick to create what you guys are creating? Because, like, it's a lot different in 2019 than it was when you guys you know, first started out in the late 90s and stuff. So
I mean, you know, there's been periods where we lived in different cities. Pat lived in New York for a little bit while I lived in Akron. It didn't affect us.
No. Were you guys able to just send things to each other?
No, when it's time to work, we get together.
So is that is that strictly how you guys do it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we got to be in the room together, you know. Like the new record, it was all live for the most part. I was playing guitar. He's playing drums. We're watching each other. We've got to be able to have eye contact.
Is that how it always was?
Or always, is it? Yeah.
Okay,
always.
Even with Danger Mouse?
Always, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was always just a big part of what we did.
What made you guys decide to self-produce this album?
I mean, we didn't even think about it. It was just the way it was supposed to be, I guess. I don't know.
Did you even know that we were going to make an album?
Or yeah, we knew we were going to make a record. We put it in the books. We didn't talk about it, though.
Yeah.
We just showed up. We knew what we were going to do.
And you obviously learned a thing or two over, you know, 20-plus years in the industry and spending all that time in the studio, so you felt confident. And
well, just taking the last 4 years off from the Black Keys, it was really nice. I mean, it was just working on all these different projects, learning all these different things, but it just made it that much sweeter when we got back together because, you know, Pat and I definitely have a connection. We just always have. And And the more other musicians that I work with, the more I realize that. You know what I mean? There's just like this undeniable thing that we've always had since we were like 16. And we never really needed to talk about it. We can just start making music.
Yeah.
You know?
Does he make you laugh?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
You guys,
he's funny dude.
Well, both of you guys are. I know that you're kind of dry, but you know, the video that you guys produced for Go is hilarious. And the Masterclass video as well, just... really, really sharp.
Well, I mean, I don't know. The idea of making a serious music video is just, that sounds like torture, to be honest, you know? So, like, but we've always tried to have a sense of humor when we make a video. The guy who did that, the new video for Go, is this guy named Brian Schlamm, who he wrote it and directed it, and he's hilarious.
I wanted to ask you about where your songs come from, because the title track on your last solo album is... a really, really fun song, and it just seems like it seems like you wrote the song as you were trying to think of a song to write.
We were. I mean, well, the thing is that one started with, I wrote that one with John Prine and Pat McLaughlin. And
by the way, the name of the album and the song is Waiting on a Song.
Waiting on a Song, yeah. That was Prine. He had the first couple lines. He said, I got this little idea. I haven't really done anything with it, and it was the first two lines to the song, you know?
I mean, as a listener, as a fan of music, and somebody who wonders where you create this stuff and where it comes from, and I heard Keith Richards say that there's songs everywhere, and, you know, it's just neat to think that, like, you could write a song about this interaction right here or something that happens out in the hallway. Has there ever been a lost opportunity? Have you ever just missed the
Well, I mean, I feel like sometimes when I'd be on tour for years, I had lots of missed opportunities.
Because you couldn't stop to write it down, or you couldn't stop to play.
Yeah, because you don't do any writing, really. When you're on the road, you know, you're just kind of performing. So, you know, I think that the idea now is to be able to balance it so that I get to, you know, have plenty of creativity. You know what I mean? Because I have to be able to do that, or it just... it doesn't work. I can't just be on the road. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Really, really fascinated by your story because you've been around for a long time, but you really hit, you know, after 2000, around 2010, the Brothers album was huge for you
it's
guys.
It's like our sixth record.
It was your sixth. I mean, you guys have created 11 albums, over 150 songs you've written. I mean, that's astounding.
It's
astounding. But
it's crazy to think about it, you know, because we just were go, go, go. We just put our heads down and just were working.
500 shows in 4 years.
Yeah, we
and
did that.
It lost the charm, I'm sure, of like the earlier days of driving around the El Camino. You know, even though the places that you were staying and the way you were traveling was a little bit more plush, it didn't have the same charm as 2002 or 2001.
Oh, I mean, it was just totally different. Oh, yeah. My God. I mean, touring with just Pat and I in a car, in like a four-door car. It's just. But that was what was really interesting, though, because for us, it was just, most bands don't, or most artists don't get to experience what we did, which was like we actually went through every step. We went from a four-door car, just the two of us, and then we went to a minivan and we had one employee.
Yeah.
And then we had two employees in a minivan, then we got a 16-passenger van. You know what I mean? It's just like we've felt every step. We've driven zigzagged all across North America in every formation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And then it's sort of a distraction from what you guys originally set out to do, which is just, you know, make some kick-ass music.
Well, we didn't know what the hell we were doing.
Right.
I mean, that was part of it.
Yeah.
You know?
I see you guys in Philly tonight, New York tomorrow, D.C. on Wednesday, and then you're off for the rest of the month, and then you're on for November, and then you're off for the rest of the year. And, you know, I think that's great. I think that's great for you guys.
Yeah. We're going to kind of take it easy. Okay. And you know, unfortunately, we're not going to get to a lot of places that we used to go to.
Yeah.
But I think that we're gonna be putting out a lot more music because of it.
Last question, I promise. I want to, because I was told I needed to ask about the concert poster. So there's a local artist named Perry Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
You know what poster I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
I've never seen anything like it. Can you describe it and tell me how did? Because it's, man, I shouldn't say it, but it's not art, but it's art. Right, it's just words, but it's somebody's art.
Well, it's a famous old Philly billboard that used to be on the side of the highway that said, "Philadelphia's not as bad as Philadelphians say it is."
Yeah.
So my friend Perry took that design, borrowed that design. It's kind of an homage to that, really.
Okay.
And and he made the poster for tonight. It says, "The Black Keys aren't as bad as Philadelphians say they are."
I think it's cool.
And he used the same font. Yeah. It's even the billboard size.
Yeah.
So it's really unique.
Yeah, instead of hanging vertical, it's going to hang horizontal.
Uh-huh.
I think that's really
It's
really
a one
cool.
of a kind, and Perry hand numbered them, and he lives here in town.
Yep.
And he had them all hands silk screened here.
I know we're going to wrap this up right now, so I just wanted to say I love the album.
Thanks so much.
And thank you so much, and hope to see you back here in Philly.
Thanks so much.
This is Dan Auerbach on 93.3 WMMR.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.